Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, parade. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, parade. They burn the kids. No one leaves gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the internet. Anyways, I got home 30 seconds ago, so we made it. And where am I going with this? I want to start this off real quick with, I haven't looked at this for a while. I used to do it quite often, look at the weather. And where did it go? Oh, I apparently don't have the weather. We'll catch it later. Anyways, apparently out on the east coast of Canadistan, or Canuckistan, in Gander, Newfoundland, they got like 200 centimeters of snow on the ground, and they got, what the hell is it, 197 or something in 72 hours or some ridiculous thing. And that's what I like about the United Nations and all the governments and all the schools and all the celebrities and everybody else. We have global warming, of which we don't have. We have weather. But if people would just do one simple thing, I think it would help them out more than anything else, and that is, whatever the media, the schools, whatever they tell you, just flip it. Just flip it. Now you got the truth. Anyways, right now here it is. Where did I see that? Here it is, 2 degrees, feels like -3. And it's April the 4th, so that's not really hot. 1945, it was hot. It was 19 degrees above zero. And the record low way back in 1874, 11.7. So we're nowhere near global warming here. If it was 19 degrees above zero in 1945, and it's 2 today. It's not really what you would call global warming. Anyways, I'm just going to throw this in the chat just for the sheer hellery of it. We got 97 centimeters of snow in 72 hours. And it's the in spring. So obviously, global warming did it. Global warming does everything. I'm just going to throw that in there for the hellery of it. Because it can. And then we'll get on to something else. I've been doing some research on for Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer. And I guess we're going to go over there Thursday. Have to do up a bunch of documents for, I don't know, there's 40-some witnesses or something. They're trying to put a cease and desist on him so that he can't move milk anymore, which isn't going to stop him, of course. He's been doing it for 23 years. Or he's been doing it longer than 23 years, but they've been chasing him down for 23 years like he's some kind of moonshine runner or something. It's 200 plus. I'm just going to, I put that link in for the snow, but I like what I'm seeing here. I had a Belvedere once, and Captain Gringo here says 200 plus mile an hour Belvedere. Now that's my Belvedere. Didn't go quite that fast, but I enjoyed the car. So yeah, that's amazing. Anyways, what are we going to talk about? Here's a couple things. If and I can find them. So many, I've been doing this research because we want to stick a fork in the government's eye over this milk stuff, so I've got an awful lot of tabs open. Yeah, I've got that open. Okay, where did all my, let me try this again a different way here. I had some tabs open. This one I like. This one I really like. This is good old Ontario, Canada. And, you know, if you're looking for a pretty easy job that pays pretty damn good and it's really hard to get fired from the job, I suggest you put your, become a cop. I mean, become a cop. We have a bunch of suspended police officers here in Ontario. And even though they haven't been to work in a year, this is like getting suspended from high school, eh, or school. Teacher comes up and says, well, okay, you're suspended for 3 days. So you can't come to school for 3 days. And the kids are going, really? Well, that's handy. Now we know how to get out of school without getting shit for it. If you skip school, they give you a hard time. And it's so stupid in the school, you skip school and they give you suspension for skipping school. Well, you skip school because you don't want to be there. And now they give you 3 days off, which you don't have to, you don't get in trouble for. Brilliant. Same thing with the police here. Because the police really are nothing more than basket case hall monitors, if you will, for the school. Because we never leave school. We're always treated like children. So, but not a bad job. Suspended police officer makes Ontario's sunshine list, and that's anybody making over $100,000 working for a government agency. At least 12 police officers in Ontario earned more than $100,000 each in 2016 while sitting at home for most or all of the year, suspended over criminal charges, yet collecting their full pay and benefits. Their salaries are revealed in Ontario's 2016 sunshine list of top public sector earners. Ontario is the only province in Canada where suspended police officers must be paid until and unless they are sentenced to serve time. Okay. The Liberal government is currently reconsidering the law, that law as part of a sweeping review of policing in the province. Mm-hmm. See, in Ontario, and I'm sure it's everywhere across the country, but especially here, because I've been through all these agencies over and over and over, talking to them, trying to find out who polices the police. And who polices the police? The police. That's why we have so much trouble with the police, you know. They can go beat up an old lady and still collect a paycheck if they get charged. It's very difficult to charge a cop in this. You got to really do something bad, man, to get for a cop to get charged here. And they do bad things all the time. If you did them, you'd be locked up toot sweet. And you wouldn't like to have your job when you got out. These guys, on the other hand, they're here for our safety. Mm-hmm. All right, anyways, all four police officers charged with perjury and obstruction of justice for allegedly planting heroin on a suspect's dashboard made the 2016 Sunshine List, even though they were suspended in January of last year. So Constable Michael Taylor planted heroin in this guy's car, perjured and obstructed justice, got a year off work and $109,000. Detective Constable Benjamin Ellie got $103,000. Constable Fraser Douglas got $103,000. And Jeffrey Tout got $101,000 for sitting on their arses while they tried to destroy somebody's life by planting heroin. Two other suspended Toronto Police Service members are on the Sunshine List. Sergeant Christopher Hurd made $119,000, suspended in May of 2016, charged with sexual assault. He's accused of sexually assaulting a woman in his cruiser. But what the hell? Gets a year off work, almost $119,920, so call it $120,000. Messes up this lady. Still got his job. And hanging out for $120,000, he doesn't lose his pension, doesn't lose his benefits, nothing. Sergeant Robert Gordy made $116,000, suspended in November, charged with assault in connection with an altercation in Scarborough parking lot that sent a man to hospital. So let's see, the man went to the hospital and Gordy collected $116,000 for his trouble. Two Ottawa police officers suspended in 2016 appear on the Sunshine List. Constable Peter Dawson made $102,000, suspended in February 2016, over allegations of falsely issuing traffic warnings. Now, I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be, but he got a year off work with pay. Constable Christian Nuganzi made $102,000, suspended in May 2016, and later charged with unsafe storage of a firearm. He was also charged with impaired driving in February of this year. So in May, he got busted for unsafe storage of a firearm. That wasn't enough to get rid of his ass. So that was May, and February of this year, gets busted for impaired driving, and he's still pulling in his $102,000 a year. So if you're looking for a pretty cushy job, driving around the car, fill a little paperwork, if you don't feel like working, then you go punch somebody out and still collect your paycheck. This is absolutely pathetic. Meanwhile, they've been dragging Michael Schmidt in and out of jail, in and out of court for 23 years, trying to bankrupt his ass so they can have their way. But they're not going to get their way because we're going to smack them one. CBC Toronto also asked the province's three other large police forces, the Ontario Provincial Police, Peel Regional Police, and York Regional Police, to provide the names and ranks of their officers currently suspended with pay. Now, this is the majority of the police. The OPP declined to provide, and that is by far the largest police force in this province, the OPP declined to provide a list of its suspended officers and said a Freedom of Information request would be necessary to release the names, which just goes again to show you that the police, and they are completely outside the reach of anybody in the government who legislated them into existence. However, by examining information in news reports and searching the Sunshine List, determined at least four OPP officers spent all of 2016 on suspension, and yet all of them earned over 100 grand. All three members of the OPP Association union executive who were, I love this one, all three members of the OPP Association union executive who were suspended in March of 2015 over allegations of fraud and money laundering appear on the Sunshine List for 2016. Detective Sergeant James Christie made $122,000. Carl Walsh made $106,000. And Martin Bain, Constable, made $106,000 as well. As well, OPP Brockville Detachment, Constable George Duke, charged with theft over $5,000 and suspended in November 2015, earned $107,857 in 2016, according to the Sunshine List. And a total of 62 officers on the province's five largest police forces are currently suspended with full pay. And this is where he really gets stupid. The issue of suspending police officers with pay has been under serious discussion for the past year, said Marie-France Lalonde, Minister for Community Safety and Correctional Services. We have not made any final decisions, but certainly this is something that as we move forward on our strategy for a safer Ontario, it would be part of the modernizing, Lalonde said in an interview at Queen's Park. I think we are coming around to think that we need to do something to ensure that we find the right solution. Lon is promising to unveil her strategy for reforms to policing by June. Right. It's only been going on for decades, and now they're going to have a look at it. Brilliant. Okay. Now, there was something else what did I just get sent here? Don't worry about that too much. Now, here's an interesting story. This is Jordan Peterson. A lot of you may already have heard of Jordan Peterson. He's been on the internet a lot. He's done a lot of interviews. If I ever get time, I'll get a hold of him. This is a guy I'd like to really interview because he's like a guy. He reminds me of Yuri. I thought it was Brezhnikov, but it's not. Whatever it is. The KGB guy that apparently came to Ontario in the 70s. This Jordan Peterson reminds me of what Yuri was talking about. All these people in the schools and universities, right? They just propagate the nonsense that's put in front of them. And Peterson really is kind of the same because he's been in the university system for a very long time. But what Yuri said is that at some point, these people pushing the Marxist agenda or the UN agenda or the communist agenda, whatever you want to call it, they're going to wake up and realize that they've been lying to all the students, that they've been actually brainwashing all the students because they didn't ask any simple questions. They didn't challenge anything. They just, okay, this is a curriculum, we'll do it. And Peterson here is a classic example of what Yuri was talking about. This guy is hell-bent for leather now. And he said when these people actually finally wake up, they've already done their job, okay? They've already done their job. They've brainwashed, they've deceived, they've manipulated. And what they normally do once these people start stepping out, they just shoot them. Now, Peterson, and the reason he said they shoot him is that because they were useful idiots, but they served their purpose. Therefore, there's no requirement to have them around anymore because they're just going to cause trouble. We are in Canada. I don't think they'll just line all these university professors up against the wall and shoot them, although they may want to. But what they're doing here, because I say this is a spiritual psychological war, And he's a psychological he's a psychology professor. How's that for irony? Anyways, University of Toronto psychology professor Dr. Jordan Peterson has had a federal research grant application denied for the first time in his long and distinguished academic career. So that's kind of like shooting them. And he's certain that the rejection from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada, well, why would you want a grant from that anyway, Jordan? Right? I mean, the whole point of the Social Science and Humanities Research Council of Canada is to push the frickin' agenda. But anyways, the government agency that supports post-secondary research is linked to the controversy surrounding his stand, that's Peterson's stand, on the gender-neutral pronouns, which he has been on top of hard, and the modern notion of gender as being fluid. That his application was also rated so poorly is telling, he said, meaning that if the proposal had just missed the mark, it might have been a credible critique, but the proposal failed abysmally. Spokeswoman for the council said in an email Monday that grants are awarded through a merit review process and that past funding is not a guarantee of further funding. Names of the peer review committee members will be publicly posted once the applicants have been fully notified, she said. But this is how they do it. Peterson sparked a free speech furor last fall with YouTube videos about the dangers of the then looming and now law Federal Bill C-16, which included gender identity and gender expression in the Canadian Human Rights Code and the Criminal Code. Now, you got to understand the Canadian Human Rights Code is basically just the template from the United Nations Human Rights Code, because all nations are member states of the United Nations, and therefore everything that's going on in your country pretty much is just templated off of their stuff over there. Anyways, he was immediately warned by the university to stop repeating these statements because they were purportedly inciting fear in the transgendered community. At that time, Peterson said he knew he was most vulnerable to attack in two areas: his grant funding and his license as a clinical psychologist. I think that it is, the controversy provided someone with a convenient opportunity to make their displeasure with what I'm doing known, he told Post Media in a recent phone interview. I can't shake the suspicion, he says. Nothing else has changed, he said. As usual, he has three top-caliber graduate students working with him. His citation counts, the number of times the work is cited by peers, are rapidly rising and have always been high. Indeed, it's the graduate students' loss of income that Peterson feels badly about, though he's working already on alternative ways to raise funds for them. Almost all the grant money is used to pay my grad students their supplements so they can get their PhDs, he said. Another chunk would have gone to pay research subjects. There was also a small budget for the students to travel to present their data. Much of the 5-year, $400,000 grant was for continuing work on research the SSHRC had previously approved and funded. The last time in 2012 was for the largest amount ever awarded to a psychologist. This guy is really sharp most of the time. I mean, I got to give him credit for what he's doing. I mean, he's really stuffing his neck out there, and it's all about inspiring people, I think, to, as what I call it, say what you mean and mean what you say, and if somebody doesn't like it, well, walk away. You know, get out of my face. You know, don't stand there and tell me that I've offended you. And if I have offended you, you tell me, and we'll have a discussion about that. But this running to mummy all the time, mommy, 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 which would be the government, or in Peterson's case, the university. And he's had some rough rides at the university because they just bring in all the Marxists, right? The application, which runs to 41 pages, was for continuing research in three areas: the technical investigation of the structure of personality, particularly improving the mechanisms by which personality is measured, assessing personality and political beliefs, and for online innovations for people to improve performance at school and at work. The guy is really dedicated I mean, he's really dedicated to what he's doing. Well before Peterson erupted onto the public consciousness last fall with his YouTube videos questioning the current push for genderless pronouns and gender equity, he was recognized as a respected scientist. He taught at Harvard for 6 years. His so-called H-index, for instance, is considered exceptional. The H-index is a result of physicist George Hirsch's attempt to measure the quality of scientists, not just the number of times he or she was published. In other words, both productivity and impact are measured. According to Hirsch, after 20 years of research, an H-index of 20 is good, 40 outstanding. Peterson's score is 49. His total citation count is almost 8,000. He does have a very sharp mind. I got to give him that, but he still gets a little confused on certain things, but that would be from his university education, I suppose. By multiple measures, he said, even if the ideas in the grant application were not of the highest caliber, and they were, I have the track record to show I'm more than capable of producing, including my ability to disseminate my ideas into the broader community. In fact, he's indisputably a great communicator. His education videos have been viewed by 8 million people, and he's popular on Twitter. The rejection has zero impact on my income, Peterson said. It's all the same to me, but it's cut the legs out from under my graduate students. The rejection, he said, is a seriously bad sign. The vetting process may be becoming politicized. Whoever it is, the one that put it down, defended the merit process as a transparent, in-depth, and effective way to allocate public research funds. So I'd really like to get this guy on the show sometime, because I would like to get him on the show, not because of what he's saying so much as I would like to correct him on some of the things he's saying. But I'll throw this in, and you can go to YouTube if you haven't already seen some of his videos. I've seen, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 of them. I think there's quite a few of them out. He's a quite intelligent guy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But like I said, some of the stuff I would like to correct him on. And I think we could get into a very lively discussion, because here I am, a grade 11 dropout, and he's a Harvard dude who has a very high intelligent factor. But I still think we could have a very good discussion on some of the things that I'm in disagreement with. Not so much disagreement, I just think there are things that he's not really looking at very closely. So I'll throw that in there. I once had a chat with a psychologist when I was in my 20s. This guy's a lot sharper, make no bones about it. This guy would be fun. This would be like fencing or something. And I have nothing but the highest respect for the man. I just think he can take it up another level, is what I'm thinking. He just needs to have a couple more tools put in his quiver there or whatever, a couple more arrows. But I remember once in my 20s, I ran into a psychologist who, you know, toting their PhDs and that and feeling pretty intelligent. And I got talking to the psychologist, and I was absolutely astounded. I had this psychologist tied in so many freaking knots so fast, it turned into a blundering nutcase and actually wanted to run away. And it was, you know, it was just, you know, they would say this and I would just kind of twist it for them and hand it back to them. And they're not used to that. And it really messed that psychologist up. And I think this is what's wrong with the universities in general. Is that these people get these educations in the universities, they got their PhDs and MDAs and all this kind of garbage, and they feel that their intellect is far, far superior to the rest of the population, and that's just plain wrong. And it's always nice to talk to someone that has all that paperwork. hopefully, so that you can get them seen a little bit different. So, you know, the transgendered thing and the I can be whatever I feel like being today, that is the one thing, I guess, that triggered him. And so it's going to make his life interesting, to say the least. But he'll keep learning, and that's the good part. Because we are in a, you know, we've just come through. I mean, when you think about it, when the public school system finally was in place, from that moment on, everybody that's gone through that system has gone through an indoctrination system. It's not an education system. It's not a knowledge-based system. It's absolutely an indoctrination system created by those who created the curriculums. Those who created the public health, or the public education system, excuse me, did it not for the benefit of the students, but for the benefit of those who created it. And so, you know, the brainwashing has been long, and it has been hard, and it's really got to the point now where most people really can't put their finger on reality too readily. There's so much garbage in their heads that they have a difficult time with it. Anyways, I was researching some stuff. Regarding Michael Schmidt and the raw milk, and I've already researched. I wasn't really researching raw milk at the time. I was just researching, and you know, to find something and take a name and tag it and start moving the name around, see what you can connect it to. So I was pretty well aware of the Rockefellers and how they operate. But, you know, it shouldn't have come too much of a surprise to me, because like I was telling Michael, this has nothing whatsoever to do with the safety of the food. This is about protecting a government-legislated monopoly. This monopoly just happens to be on milk. So how do you go about doing that? Because people have been milking cows since the dawn of time. People have been drinking milk since the dawn of time. So what do we got to do? We got to problem, reaction, solution. So yesterday when I was tooting around there, if I still can find where that is, I actually found a really good paper. It's only short. It's I don't know what it is, 30 pages or something. It's quite short. If I can still find. Is this it? A thesis. Is that it? Because this one in particular, no, this one's 129 pages. This is how much garbage I got to read through, eh? You know, I've been going through these documents. This one's 129 pages. I went down through into 400 pages, and then I went 280 pages. This is what I was doing yesterday, rooting through this stuff, and going through old Hansard's, which is a real pain in the ass. Trying to find out what the particular political pundits, or whatever you want to call it, idiots, had to say on the subject. And the Hansard, you know, you don't just punch it in and it pops up. You gotta drag yourself through all these stupid things, and dig out the stuff. But one of the things is that you can always bank on is they always write everything down. That's the upside. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of digging, but it's always written down, or it's always spoken of. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to dig this out. I hope I didn't lose it. Is this it? Okay, let me try again. This is Lake Fishin. This is Lake Fishin. Let me try this one. I don't know where it went. I think I know where I might be able to find it. Because I'd like to give it to everybody, in at least in the chat, or put it somewhere that people can read it, because it's actually quite a good piece. It came out of the University of Calgary, and it actually, in that piece, discusses part of the role of, guess who, Rockefeller and Carnegie, way back when. And like Rockefeller said, you know, own nothing and control everything. And this is what this is all about. The more you dig into this raw milk situation, the more you realize it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with a safe product. It is all about control. And this is exactly exactly what they're up to. And way back in 1913, I think it was, it was about I hope I didn't lose that. Maybe this is the one. Nope. Anyways, don't matter. I'll dig it out and do it on another show. Now, I'm not supposed to talk about the Muslims, but I guess I'm going to head there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Muslims, but what I'm trying to get people to understand is your politicians. I saw a video today somebody put up somewhere, and they left some, there was people leaving comments on it, you know, and they were complaining about Justin Trudeau, the PM, the Queen's Prime Minister. People think it's their Prime Minister. It's not. So they're all, everybody's bitching and complaining about I don't know where to find that thing. All bitching and complaining about the politicians and that. The politicians ain't got nothing to do with it. Okay? You are, whether you like it or not, you are under international law. It's that simple. You're absolutely... Oh, here's the one from Calgary. Okay. You're absolutely under international law, and have been for a considerable period of time. There's no point bitching about a politician. There's no point bitching about a party. There really isn't even hardly any point in bitching about the migrants, because the migrants wouldn't be coming into Canada or the United States or Australia or Britain or France or Spain or any of those other places if it wasn't for the United Nations. If the United Nations didn't exist, this would not be going on. Because all the countries or all the nations, whatever, the states or member states of the UN, they've committed themselves. Now, you got to go all the way back to 1951 when they were already talking about migrants and immigrants and whatnot. And that was because of the wars, these displaced people. Now, we didn't jump on to it in 1953, but how these guys work is they put markers in all the way down. And then they took the Universal Human Rights and they went backwards and tagged it back to 1951 and 54 commitments. So even though our country didn't accede, I think it was a word, to the 51-53 alien migrant doctrines, it got tagged through the human rights. So the way it works out is that if your country, nation, state, whatever you want to refer to as, if it is a member of the United Nations, then your country, state, nation is obligated, legally obligated to bring these migrants in. You're also legally obligated to allow them through the side door, the back door, the window, anywhere but the front door. You can still allow them through the front door, but you are obligated to allow the migrants onto your lands, period, because your nation has agreed to it. Now, it's not really your nation because the nation is the people. This is all corporate crap. But the fact, I saw a video where they're taking taxis, they're bringing them in on buses, and then stage them off into taxis, and the taxis take them the last half hour or whatever up to the border, and drop them off at a dead end road with a little creek. It's not even, it's just a runoff creek. You're going to get wet and jump over the damn thing. There's a stop sign. Now, it shows the American border police stopping the vans. Now, instead of arresting these people for trying to jump the border, what they're doing is they're asking them to please go. They're saying you can't go across there. You have to go to a monitored border. Okay? But they're not turning them around. The cop just simply pulls over the border guy, and that's probably what they've been doing on the Mexican border for years without people's knowledge. So they say you can't go across there because it's not a monitored border point. The P Oh yeah, okay, that's fine. Then the taxi driver just drives another 10 feet or whatever, and then the migrants get out and they walk towards the creek, you got some RCMP on the other side of the creek going, "Go back, you can't come here. This is Canada." And they just keep walking and they jump the ditch. So if you cross this, then we'll have to arrest you. So go back. Well, fine, arrest us. And I mean, it's just a really bad play. So once they get across the border, they search them and then they take them to a place to be processed where they're processed. And told that they'll have a hearing in a couple of weeks. But none of them ever come back. They're not detained for 2 weeks until they're vetted. They're just told to come back in 2 weeks and we'll vet you then. And they just leave. And they're somewhere in the country, but who knows where? Because they ain't coming back. So now, where do they end up at? They need clothing. They need food. They need housing. Where do they go? They go to the sanctuary cities. The sanctuary cities are set up. Why? To facilitate the illegal immigrants. Now, how can you possibly have a sanctuary city when the federal immigration law says you got to come through the front door? What's that? Oh, I see. The United Nations agreements were tied up to said they can come through the back door, the window. I see. They can tunnel in, they can fly in, they can parachute down. I see. And where did these sanctuary cities come from? The United Nations. I see. So we have to allow these things. Is that correct? Yeah. So we cannot protect our nation from migrants. Is that correct? Yes. Well, that would explain why the police and the military are not doing what people think is their job. That's why they're just, shaking their hands, basically. Welcome aboard. Now, what does that do? That shows specifically that the police at the border are UN police because they're helping to facilitate the UN agenda, agreements, whatever. The politicians stand up in the House and argue back and forth. Why are you letting all these immigrants in? Knowing full freaking well that they can't stop them. It's all just show. Is the military, as we're being invaded, protecting our country slash nation? No. They're actually moving out of their military housing to facilitate housing for the illegals. And who's paying for all of this? You are. You are paying to house the UN globalist corporate infantry, if you will, that is here to take down the West. And what is one of the goals of the United Nations is the end of nation states. You're already under the umbrella of the United Nations. You're already bound to anything that we've signed on to, agreed to, or didn't even agree to, in the case of 51 and 1951, 1953, refugee or displaced people policies. Even though we didn't sign on to it, they signed us on through the back door because these guys are slippery. And they got just this huge bank of lawyers. And they are writing international law so fast it'll make your head spin. We're having all kinds of stories coming out now where a migrant does something, they rob somebody or they rape somebody, and if they get to trial, it's a very light sentence, and you wonder why that is. Well, it's there because you don't want to, one, lock up any of the infantry, and two, you don't want to lock up the breeding stock. Because the plan is to bring them in here and breed them until you are the minority. I don't know what it's like in the United States, but here in Canada, our upper-level governments, federal and provincial governments, are just filling up with these immigrants who are there to help facilitate, again, the program. And if you say anything bad about it, well, then you hate Islam and you hate Muslims, and therefore you must be dragged to the Human Rights Board, which is just another part of the, what do they call it, the Jewish thing, the ADL, or the United Nations, which are all the same thing, all created by the same people, and it's to shut you up so they can continue along their merry way with their propaganda and their agendas. So I don't know exactly what it's going to take for the people to, I have all kinds of people say, "Oh, awake." Well, not really. I see things like "Take Back Canada" on Facebook. and all kinds of that type of rhetoric on their sites. And well, you don't want to take Canada back. You want to kick it in the can. You want to kick it out of existence. Because it's a corporation. The corporation is designed to enslave and feed off of you. So why would you want to save Canada? You know, we need a new name for these nations, you know. At least in the States, you know, the United States and America are two separate entities. One's the people and one's the corporation, but the corporation controls the people. Now, one interesting thing about this is that it's all been played out by the same people for bloody ever. And the point is, when are we going to catch on? You know, I've heard the stories there about Donald Trump going to not send funding to the United Nations. So what? You're still a member state. You're still a member state. And the United Nations headquarters is on American soil. So I haven't heard anything about Trump saying, okay, that's it, bulldoze that building. Or better still, turn it into housing for vets who were sent to a corporate war and deserve much better than they're getting. But then they're just the dogs of war, like the corporation gives a damn about them. They're no more important to they're no more, the vets are no more important to the corporation than a steel track off a tank after it's been blown to bits in the desert. It don't matter. But I would like to see the United Nations. I'd like to see all them flags pulled down. I'd like to see the knot come out of that revolver, the knot in the barrel. And I would like, that's a lot of building. That's a lot of floor space over there at the United Nations. And I would like to see it turned into housing for both vets and the general homeless. I mean, for crying out loud, the illegal immigrants get housing, clothing, medical, education, jobs offered to them, and those who supposedly went to protect the freedoms of the people are living on the freaking streets or just not really getting by. And they suffer from mental stress from the war. They suffer a lot. And for all intents and purposes, they get nothing for their effort. The people coming in to destroy what's left of the nation, because they're already on their knees now. Most people are so brain dead, they'd have a difficult time even seeing what the hell's going on, let alone understand it. So the only way that we can rectify this problem of this mass migration into our lands by people we don't want here is to cut the ties to the United Nations. And if your leader is not prepared to cut those ties, then you know who he's working for in one form or another. But most definitely not supporting the people, because if it was, they would sever those ties with the United Nations in a flash. Boom, done. Now get away from us and take your stuff back, and you've put it somewhere else. But we ain't dealing with this. These are our nations, and they're killing the nations, because the idea is to kill the nation states. The only thing you'll be able to deal with in your nations, all wrote down in the UN, in the UN documents, is local things, you know, like a road or something. But anything of any significant importance will be decided on by these non-elected, not in-country bureaucrats. And again, if you haven't read the book, if you have never read the book, The New Despotism, written in 1929 by Chief Justice in England. I would really wish people would read that because it spells it out completely. Now, oh, this isn't the right book either, is it? Let me think here. But this does tell you a lot. I think this is the one that has Carnegie and Rockefeller in it. Now, Rockefeller, he funded the very first public health in Ontario, Canada. Why? Did he give a damn about the health of the people in Canada? No. It was about control. That's why they fund the universities. That's why they fund the politicians. That's why they fund the churches. Anything that they can fund that will help them move their agenda forward, they fund. So nothing's changed. What was going on back, basically, you're going to start around 1913 is as good a spot anyway to start. That's when the Fed was created. And that's when these NGOs started to spring up. The first NGO in Canada was a Rockefeller NGO, and it was about hygiene. And the problem at that point, and these are all that was a eugenics program, by the way, too, because they're all into eugenics, was about the venereal diseases of these soldiers, I guess, from the First World War. And so they set that up. And that was the beginning of the control of health. That's basically where it began. And then it was changed, it changed its name. And the milk situation, I don't have time to talk about that just briefly, though. But the milk situation was bred off of the hygienic clubs. And they did the same thing they're doing today, except today they do it on social media, in the newspapers, on television. Then they would send out speakers and talk about hygiene. And they would send out and talk about milk. But it was never about the health or safety of anyone. It was about control. And they're doing the very same thing today. You know, it's got so bad today that every city manager is trained in how to implement the UN global corporate agendas by stealth. So anyways, I'm going to put this in here. This is actually not a bad piece about understanding. And while it's about milk and that, it's really more about understanding a little bit of how this template that they use operates. And that's important for people to understand if they don't already understand it. I'll probably get Michael Schmidt on here. Once we got to go there Thursday and do a pile of stuff so that they have all the packages for all the witnesses to get to work. Anyways, everybody have a great night, and let's hope for some warm weather and less snow up Newfoundland. Rock right here on UCY.tv.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the war.